For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So, since my microphone wasn't working very well last week, you all are going to get to hear the same story twice. Lucky you. For our non-human congregants today, this should be your first time hearing this story. Except for our pious family of squirrels living underneath the altar, who I only assume were with us and alert last Sunday. But I'm joking. But before I get going, I do truly want to recognize and give thanks for all of our beloved animals who are with us here today. When our worship is more diverse, I know that we grow closer to God. And when we worship in the presence of animals, I believe that their love and their wisdom brings God's spirit more clearly into our midst. So on this feast of St. Francis, I want to recognize our animals, and I want to thank you, God, for them, and for all of the ways in which they are beacons of God's light for us. In any event, however off the cuff it was last Sunday, we talked about authority, from where we find authority and inspiration to do the things that matter to us. I spoke of having met someone who became a friend named Terry about a decade ago. Always struggling with housing insecurity doubled or tripled up, in ramshackle apartments with bad landlords, in rooming houses, and oftentimes homeless altogether. His spirit has always been indomitable, his sense of humor contagious, and at 6'7", his presence is one that cannot be ignored. I remembered last week a fleeting moment that had always remained etched in my mind, but to that point, never in an explicitly religious sense. Terry and I in an old beat-up Cadillac that he'd just bought, his seat adjusted all the way back to accommodate for his height, cruising through a park that splits much of Hartford's North End. William Devon's "Be Thankful for What You Got" came on the radio, which last week I erroneously attributed to Curtis Mayfield. I cranked the windows down as the song's opening words pumped through the speakers and through the park. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls and TV antennas in the back, you may not have a car at all. But remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. And then the song's namesake, just be thankful for what you've got. The paradox and maybe the serendipity of that moment should be obvious, and it was that he did have a car, and not only a car, but a great big Cadillac. I felt proud, and I felt most proud that Cadillac or not, he knew how to stand tall in a world that often expected or even asked him to shrink. Just remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. The feast of St. Francis of Assisi stands at the nexus of so many religious principles, so many foundational truths that we hold about ourselves, our world, our God. There may have indeed been a time when processing its importance was a far simpler task than it is today, a time when St. Francis stood for what was already abundantly clear to the people and the cultures of the day. And yet today, relevant discussion of the Feast of St. Francis from the pulpit must bear witness to the sheer urgency and tragedy of our global ecological crisis. And while such discussion is both timely and critical, I think it somewhat misses the mark, and I'm afraid today that discussion focusing on our climate crisis alone would not be sufficient. In his seminal work, Cry of the Earth, Cry of the Poor, liberation theologian Leonardo Boff penned, "The ecological crisis demands explanations that are accurate, radical, and persuasive, just as an illness requires that the causes be identified. For it is only by attacking the causes, not the symptoms that the patient can be cured. Ecological degradation is not the cause of an illness. It is a grave symptom. To identify a cure, we must not identify symptoms, but causes. And the cause with which I'm concerned and with which Leonardo Boff suspects is at the root of our ecological crisis is the disruption of our broader sense of connection to self, connection to neighbor, to creation, and ultimately, connection to God. Now, if that sounds familiar, I hope it does, because that means that I'm doing my job, and it should be familiar. In our catechism's explanation of human nature, it is written that we are part of God's creation, made in God's image, and with some freedom of choice, the freedom to love, to create, to live in harmony with God and all the universe. God endowed humanity with great responsibility and yet with this great honor to be co-creators of the universe's open process of becoming. And yet, we notice that as creation unfolds, it is not linear with what we imagine God might will for the world. We notice that something is amiss. Now, sometimes this is a dirty word in modern and progressive churches, even churches that want to combat the climate crisis, but our catechism describes sin as the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, manifesting in the distortion of our relationships with God, with others, and with all creation. As a result of this, we often come to confuse ourselves for God. And in our confused quest for dominion, we paradoxically become slaves to the demands of our insatiable wills. Our entire conception of human nature becomes then terribly distorted. In this distortion, we thirst for power, which often requires the subjugation of others, of humans, animals, and nature. Within this paradigm of human existence, where all else is considered to exist in order to serve our needs, it should come then as no surprise that God's wonderfully created world is systematically plundered to indulge our conveniences. The ecological crisis on our hands is not that weather patterns have changed, that natural resources have been depleted, food systems disrupted, or that catastrophic weather events have increased. The crisis is that we have come to see ourselves as entirely set apart from creation itself. God's conversation with Job in today's Hebrew Bible reading offers a somewhat snarky reminder of this when God asks Job, "Do you know when the mountain goats gave birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they gave birth? When they crouch to give birth to their offspring and are delivered of their young?" Now, in plain language, God asks Job here, "Who do you think you are?" The earth cries out. And we cry out too, because we've become lost, disoriented. The good news here, of course, is that just as our human story reminds us of that need to turn, the story also shows us that since creation, God has and continues to consistently offer us reminders of who we are truly meant to be, and an opportunity in turn to reorient. Jesus does this today in his words for us, saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A light burden, an easy yoke. We understand these as obvious paradoxes. When yoked, we're supposed to lose some sense of power and freedom. When burdened, we're supposed to feel its weight, and we're supposed to struggle. What Jesus tells us here is that this change, this reorientation, is no struggle at all. It's freeing. In exchanging dominion and domination for dignity, we then become fully human. And as we become fully human, we rest in God. What the Feast of St. Francis can teach us is not that we ought to set aside a Sunday to consider those things that we so often compartmentalize, like environmental crises, God's care for non-human beings, the boundless beauty of our lands and our waters. Francis does not call for us to recognize and care for a creation that we stand entirely outside of, to appreciate what is accessory to humanity's interests. Francis reminds us that we're just a mere part in a far broader creation, and that we're called to remember this. If we were to have a creation care Sunday, we must recognize that we're inextricably connected to and fully reliant upon the very creation that we understand as separate from ourselves. We are the creation. Creation care is about remembering that. A faithful honoring of St. Francis requires not recognition, but reorientation. Creation care requires that we trade unquenchable thirst for more at the expense of all for the reclamation of dignity for all. Dignity for you, for me, dignity for all of creation. Or as someone once said, remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you've got. Amen.